Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back, and it is good to have you here today. As we approach the end of our journey through Genesis chapter 3, I am interested in what has impacted you along the way. So I would like to invite you to please send me a note and tell me what our time together in this chapter has meant to you. I know that many of you have been listening for quite some time, but you have never written to me. That is very common among people who listen to radio and to podcasts. If you listen to talk radio and someone calls in to a host, often the caller will say, "Long-time listener, first-time caller." Whenever I hear that, my heart kind of goes out to the host, and I want to say to the caller, "Good thing you called. You should have called sooner." Now, some hosts hardly need another call. Their lines are always jammed. But others hardly hear from anyone out there in radio land. And they could use the interaction and encouragement that comes from knowing someone is on the other end of their voice. Well, I wonder about you who listen to God Is. I believe you are out there. And this is a great time for you to write me an email or send me a letter and to identify yourself. You could say, "Long-time listener, first-time writer." I am not asking you to send me a book or even a paragraph. Just jot down a few lines and send it. I will give you my addresses in a moment, so if you want to grab a writing utensil or get your phone out to jot those down, great. What is it in Genesis 3 that impacted you, maybe challenged you? Is there something you learned? Did I cause you to think about the chapter in a different way? What was new to you? Perhaps you have a lingering question. Or was there something I passed over you really wanted to know what it meant? Or perhaps you just want to say hello, give a word of encouragement, perhaps leave a prayer request with me. I will pray for anyone who requests prayer. It will be my honor to pray for you. The email is mark@godisministry.org. That is Mark, spelled with a K, mark@godisministry.org. And the mailing address is God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. You can also get in touch via social media. If you are on Facebook or Instagram, the handle there is God Is Podcast. I hope you will follow us on God Is Podcast Facebook and or Instagram. My website has all this information and even a link marked Contact. If you click that, you will get me that way as well. Friends, where there is a will, there are many ways. I look forward to hearing from you. What has Genesis 3 meant to you? What does the God Is ministry mean to you? I eagerly await word as we come to these final two verses of Genesis chapter 3. This is how verses 23 and 24 of Genesis 3 read. "Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life." Last time we learned that God was sending the man and the woman out in verse 23, and why that was repeated by way of the phrase, "drove the man out," in verse 24. Today I want to focus next on this phrase in the second part of verse 23, "to cultivate the ground from which he was taken." What this phrase tells us is that while the man and his wife will be expelled from the garden, they will have a new home on a piece of property which will require the man to cultivate. And this word cultivate is one you might remember. We had this before in Genesis chapter 2. Back in that chapter, prior to the entrance of that vile sin into the garden, man was commanded to cultivate the garden. Let me read that. Genesis 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Man was put into the garden to cultivate it, but now the man is thrown out of the garden to cultivate, same Hebrew word, the ground outside paradise. This is another example of a play on words used by Moses in Genesis. And this highlights the devastating impact of sin. There is a world of difference between cultivating the garden and cultivating the ground after God has said to the man, "Cursed is the ground because of you, and toil you will eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." That was the punishment God gave to man in Genesis 3, 17 through 19. Now, at the end of the chapter, the punishment comes to fruition. To cultivate or to till the ground means to serve, to labor and servile work, says Merrill Unger. And H.C. Leupold says, quote, "Man stands in heavy bondage to the very soil that he was first privileged to control," unquote. Oh yes, in Genesis 2, man controlled the ground, but now in Genesis 3, the ground controls him. And that is a vast difference in the wrong direction. Ask Adam which ground he would rather cultivate and keep, and the answer is obvious. Perfect ground in the garden. I have spoken of my grandfather on God Is before. Surely I have. He was my mom's father, and I loved the man. He was a fervent Christian and passionate about the Bible. He is with the Lord now, but I will not forget those days when I was a child, observing him sitting there in the front room of the house with his Bible open, pencil in hand, as he listened to various Bible teachers on the radio day and night. He used to take notes on index cards. J. Vernon McGee on Through the Bible was his favorite, and mine too. To this day, I never miss a broadcast of Through the Bible. In fact, as I record this, my wife is listening to Dr. McGee teach the book of Matthew in the other room. Well, my grandfather was also passionate about the big, long, and thick hedge growing outside his home. This was actually my aunt and uncle's house, and he lived with them. Well into his 80s, he would go to the garage for his clippers and his ladder, and out he would go, even in the hot summer sun, and for hours he would cut the hedge back to what sure looked like perfection. And these clippers were not electric either. These were an old-school giant pair of scissors. Cut, cut, and cut again, on and on all afternoon. On more than one occasion, he almost fell over from heat stroke. But if you urged him to stop for some rest and water, oh, he would not be happy with you. He was a part of that generation that really knew how to work. I will restrain myself from saying more about that. You probably do not want a speech from me about the lack of work ethic we have today. Anyway, the reason I thought of my grandfather out there clipping the hedge was because of this text. Hedges in the Garden in Eden still needed clipping. Hedges outside the Garden of Eden need clipping. But it is one thing to be cutting hedges inside that perfect garden. It is quite another to be up on the ladder, sweating away, muscles aching, with the danger of a hand hitting a thorn, or falling off the ladder, or dying of heat stroke. Well, Granddad hasn't needed to clip that hedge in many years, and that hedge hasn't looked as neat and tidy since, by the way. He now is absent from the body and present with the Lord. And in the new heavens and the new earth, the perfect hedges will grow yet again. Maybe there, the heavenly clippers will be out, and you and I can go down to the hedges and talk to my grandfather in Paradise Regained. How about it? I can introduce you to him. Ah, for those of us who love Christ, our citizenship is in heaven, isn't it? And we are closer to being there today than we were yesterday. For just a while longer, you and I toil on this soil. We cultivate a ground which is cursed. We push on through the pain the thorns and the thistles cause for us. By the sweat of our face we eat bread. But soon, and very soon, our Lord will whisk us away to live with Him forever. We join with Adam and Eve looking back to what was lost when they were removed from Eden. But we look ahead with Christ to what will be gained when we are at home in heaven. Let me say just one final thing about verse 23, and then tomorrow we will hit verse 24. Verse 23 also says this, the ground from which he was taken. Remember that God created man from the ground. Genesis 2 verse 7 says, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground. Unger points out that the ground from which man was formed is now the same ground to which he will return to cultivate. He says the original composition of man's body, formed from the soil, is that which he now had to cultivate to earn his living. Well, I hope the insights I have shared with you today and a little time remembering the man who influenced me towards Christ and a love for God's word has been somehow beneficial to you. Has this? If so, then would you let me know? You know, my grandfather is not here to encourage me. So I count on you to lift me up in prayer and to, from time to time, offer some feedback. So let me hear from you, would you? Mark@godisministry.org and God is P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. Join me tomorrow for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.